Blog Talk Radio.
The law offices of Pascal, Tashman, and Walker presents National Detroit Weekly with blogger Harold Sullivan. My name is Michael Van Sewell. Pastor Shauna Taylor from Beacon Outreach Mission is sitting in with us this evening, and we value her contribution. National Detroit Weekly is your connection to national and world affairs and politics from the Motor City. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Harold, how are you?
I'm a little heated today. A little heated, but otherwise I'm doing okay.
Pastor Taylor, how are you this evening?
Well, I'm praying for our strength.
Great. Well, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. I just want to mention a few of our supporters. Of course, the law office of Pascal, Tashman, and Walker, my good friend, Attorney Cliff Pascal, has a law firm here in Southfield that can cover all of your legal needs. They are experts in professional negligence and malpractice, personal injury, probate and estate planning, labor and employment law, personal matters like real estate transactions, drunk driving offenses, bankruptcy, family law, and business litigation, civil rights, and police misconduct. Look, if you've got an issue, any type of legal issue, and you need an attorney, call Attorney Cliff Pascal. Very effective. Let me tell you, one time I needed some help from them. He wrote a letter. All he did was write a letter and said I had retained them as my legal counsel, and my problem went away, okay? That's how powerful Attorney Cliff Pascal is. So make Attorney Cliff Pascal your attorney. Call the law offices of Pascal, Tashman, and Walker. The number is 248-353-7750. Columbus Construction, for all your repairs, home repairs, from flooring to security doors, painting, electrical, plumbing, kitchen cabinets, over 25 years of experience. Call Columbus Construction. Also, Colony Realty is right there with them. So it's one number to reach both, Colony Realty and Columbus Construction. The number is 313-247-7231. And I want to thank Hot Sam's for providing my wardrobe for me, for all of my functions, all of my events. They are the next level in men's clothes. Hot Sam's, since 1921, downtown Detroit on Monroe Street. They can put it together for you. They've got the experts in-house there that can, put your colors together, all your accessories. They've got they can do alterations for men and women. But let me tell you, that is, you want, you know, formal wear like tuxedos, you can go to Hot Sam's. So Hot Sam's on Monroe Street, downtown Detroit. They're open 6 days a week. Harold Sullivan, we are in the beginning stages of the Trump transition team. A lot of confusion going on right now, a lot of names being floated, a lot of names that should not be floated. But
like family members being granted security clearances?
That too, but he has come out and said that he's not going to have his family members have all clearances. So I don't know how true that is. But that's just a lot of the confusion going on right now, too, during this transition.
Well, you know, they're going to be provided Secret Service details, you know, for their protection as, you know, members, immediate members of the family. But as it relates to, you know, having security details or security clearances, I'm concerned about Trump having his finger on the button, let alone family members. But it's a new day, and everything is new, so when this new president takes office on January the 20th, I think we're going to have to strap on our seatbelt and kind of lock in for a rocky ride, because things are really going to be changing. They're changing now, even as we sit here and speak. The country has really been up in arms about the outcome of the election last week, of course. You see the demonstrations taking place all over the country on college campuses, mostly those that you see in the midst of the demonstrations are young white kids on the college campuses. So there is a great deal of concern with respect to the outcome, but again, there's nothing we can do about that now because the man has been elected. He will be standing before a justice on January the 20th with his hand on the Bible and taking the oath of office, he and Mike Pence. People are talking about Pence now. A lot of us didn't know anything about Pence going into the political strategies in terms of well, coming out of the convention, of course, we began to learn a little bit more about him. We learned that, you know, he was an elected official, of course, in Indiana. He has a great deal of experience. He's considered to be a very ultra-conservative Republican.
Yeah.
So he's the one of the kind of individuals that, you know, has the stamp of the right wing, the religious right, all of the conservative church movement. They have given Mr. Pence their stamp of approval. That's going to be necessary, Shauna, because of the fact that I think there's so much craziness going on about all of the Trump pledges going forth and the promises that he made with respect to the building of the wall and the turning back illegals and making a really concerted effort to make sure that people of Arabic extraction do not come into the country or have an opportunity to come into the country. So these are people are asking what's going to happen with this. Also, too, you've got to take a look at the if he's going to strike down Obamacare, you're going to be about 22 million people nationwide. If it's completely dismantled the way that he promised that it would be, 22 million people nationwide are going to be without health care. All right? And that's I'm imagining that's 22 million households. So you extrapolate that by three or four, then you're looking at, 60,000 uninsured individuals. So these are things that really have to be taken to task, and we have to view those things. I know that the other day when Mr. Trump met with the president, they sat down, they had a pretty conciliatory meeting that lasted about 90 minutes. But we're going to see how Trump is going to forge ahead with the conditions of the promises that he made. He's going to have to really be in a position to take the lead on this going forward, because a lot of people voted for him from that particular standpoint on the promises that he made about the immigration situation, about Obamacare, you know, about, you know, the building of the wall. So you best believe people will be clamoring to find out, hey, Mr. President Trump, when are these things going to take shape? I'm beginning to wonder if it's going to happen at all.
Well, you know, they call him the new evangelist, that, you know, God sent him and he's going to change everything. And, yeah, they call him the new evangelist. So they're trying to say that God sent him and he's going to change everything. And Obama is the reason why we're in such a great depression and why we are handicapped from being able to pay bills and being able to afford insurance, and that it's time for us to depend on this evangelist that's going to change everything. And I'm like, wow. I mean, the outlook of how they see in this man, they see him as some kind of God right now, you know. And I don't think that that's fair.
Well,
you know, to put him in that type of life, you know, to say they basically putting their faith, you know, their trust in him, and they're basically like he's God sent. Like, how?
The thing, you know, I've had discussions with a few people, and, you know, some of the Trump supporters. So what I've asked them, I didn't get into a contentious conversation or, you know, an exchange of heated words or anything like that. But my question was, what are you expecting from this new president?
They don't know what to expect.
And to a person, I mean, of the three people that I had opportunity to have deep discussion with, they don't know what to expect.
Exactly.
Only thing that they know is that Obama's gone, and, you know, things are going to be rosy because Trump's in office. Now, here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
Okay. As, like I said, I didn't get into a lot of banter with them about how things had progressed
right.
during the eight years of Barack Obama.
Right.
So I remember him coming in, and one of the first things was the rescue of the automobile industry. Had he not approached the handling of the automobile industry early on in the presidency,
mm-hmm.
the fact of the matter is we may not even have a Chrysler Corporation today.
Oh.
Their straits were just that dire, okay?
Okay.
Chevrolet Ford, of course, didn't take any of the bailout money.
Right.
So Ford was able to, you know, scratch their way to the surface on their own. I said Chevrolet. What I meant was General Motors, of course.
Uh-huh.
General Motors, of course, has a great deal of indebtedness to the Obama administration because, you know, their whole scheme was skewed, and they were not making the money that they are making now.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the cash for clunkers and the admonishing that was given to the executives, to the high executives for flying in on their mm-hmm. private jets to the hearings. They had to take a back seat and understand that this administration meant business as it remained, or as it related to, you know, providing them with the money to bail out these industries.
Right.
It was a quid pro quo because you had to look at it from the standpoint that people's jobs were at stake. I think we have a caller, Shauna.
All right. Caller, would you like to say anything?
No. Above that. Oh, no. They should be on. Okay.
Should they?
No, it's on.
Caller, would you like to say anything?
Can we hear anything? Keep going.
So basically, they're looking at this president as this savior. You know, that's how they said at first they talked about Obama. Oh, he's the savior. And, you know, some people are saying, oh, I'm just voting for him because he's black. And some people were saying, you know, he's really going to change this world. Well, then here you got this man saying that America's going to be great again. Well, how is America going to be great again when you have a man that's trying to act like he's like God and he's trying to take away Social Security from the senior citizens or for people that want to go in retirement one day? And how dare he try to switch around Obamacare when he doesn't even have an idea of how to even handle medicine?
Ultimately what's going to happen is you're going to have Bubba and Otis and Becky Sue,
mm-hmm.
all of them, when they find themselves in the throes of not being covered and not having the medical protections that they have under Obamacare,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to have some major concerns. There's going to be a lot of throwback. There's going to be a lot of pushback in the months to come. I would say by this time, a year from now, we're going to have a lot of people coming forward saying, 6 months, I'm going to stick with the year, but, you know, it can begin as early as, like you said, 6 months. But I really believe we're going to start hearing a whole bunch of Trump regret.
Yes.
You know, in terms of I voted for this man thinking that he was going to instill these types of principles and these types of governing policies,
mm-hmm.
and that has not happened. But the fact of the matter is, you know what, outside of those grandiose and spectacular promises that he made about the wall and, you know, about the immigration situation and the rescinding of Obamacare.
And giving Americans more money.
Right. What did we hear about policy?
Nothing.
So now Social Security is kind of sneaking up on it.
Yeah.
So Social Security is kind of sneaking up on us.
On a lot of people.
And, you know, people have always been concerned about the solvency of Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's real concerns because if indeed he acts upon, you know, kind of bringing about a new social structure to the Social Security system, We don't know what that's going to be. We don't know what the outcome is.
Well, here this man, he's talking about in 100 days. He's already talking about soon he gets in office.
Mm-hmm.
100 days, he has in there what he's going to do. What are you going to do in 100 days? So, you know, first you got to get in there. You got to have a meeting with the people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just make up some plan out of your brain thinking like you just going to do something. No.
Well, you know, again, I have to turn back to President Obama because there was a discussion the other day and someone asked him, this was after the meeting with,
mm-hmm.
with Trump, but it was I believe, in the Oval Office, or not in the Oval Office, but in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asking President Obama, well, President Obama, you know, understanding that, you know, there's a transitional phase going on, you know, and Obama said, you know, I'm going to work diligently to make sure that this is a smooth transition, that the handoff is there, that when he comes into office, everything is going to be in place. So, the questioner asked him, well, when did you begin to feel comfortable in your skin as president? And I'm kind of paraphrasing there, but he said, to a degree,
mm-hmm.
you never reach a degree of comfortability
right.
in that position
right.
because it's a position unlike any other position on earth.
Yeah.
You know, if you work in the hospital, there are a bunch of other people working in the hospital.
Exactly.
There are nurses, there are doctors, there are whatever. Okay, if you work in the factory, there are other people working on the line helping you build the cars. You know, if you're a teacher, there are other teachers in the school system that are working there. But when you're the president of the United States, you're the president of the
United States,
and you alone are the president of the United States. And there is a vice president, of course, but that vice president serves at your pleasure.
Well, I think he's going to honestly take the ideas from Mike Pence, and I think he's going to let Mike Pence do everything. Because he looks like the type to sit down and take the glory for somebody else's work. That's the kind of spirit that I see on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. For me, on Pence, the jury is out. I have to think that by virtue of him being a part of this team, that he embraces the mindset and the policies that Mr. Trump has set forth thus far. So he's totally on board. I can't help but think any other way. He's going to be a person who is going to make the president look good. He wants himself to look good.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to, you know, have any rancor or any disagreement with respect to the policies that are coming out of the White House. So we have to be very mindful of those things. Pence, again, like I said, is an experienced elected official as governor, and understands dealing with the legislative branch. That's something that Trump is going to have to begin to understand, because not being an elected official, and people kind of always have pointed to, well, he's an excellent businessman, and he's done this, and he's done that, and he's built this, and he's built that. But the fact of the matter is, when Trump goes into a board meeting,
mm-hmm.
his decision is usually the final decision. I'm sure he has individuals who are there that are part of his brain trust,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you know, he can veto everything. It's not that way as president. The president has to understand the branches of government. Now, you know, one of the beautiful things for Trump coming in
mm-hmm.
is that he's going to have the Congress.
Right.
He's going to have the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
He's got most of the governorships. And it looks as though going into 2018, if he can maintain that power,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, it's going to be a really great 4 years for the Trump administration. He may not get much pushback on his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
However, if there's change coming in 2018, if people, you know, really start strategizing and understanding what is at stake, there could be a change leading up to, you know, how the decision-making apparatus runs legislatively.
Right.
And so if he gets pushback from the legislature, then, you know, we'll see how he deals with that. We'll see how he deals with that. President Obama had a contentious relationship for 6 of the 8 years that he served.
Yeah.
We let him down in 2010 with respect to the midterm election that year.
Mm-hmm.
Obama came into a similar situation, having control everywhere,
mm-hmm.
controlling the White House, controlling the Senate, controlling the United States Congress, and it was a good position to be in. It was good to be president, as they say, the Lion King. It's good to be king.
Right.
You know, but after 2010, there was a tremendous degree of letdown with respect to what kind of policies the president was able to push forward.
I mean, how can these people vote for a president and you don't know his plans? And I mean, at least we knew Obama, you know, that he had a resolution, a blueprint. And he also followed through, but we don't know what this man is going to do.
Well, you know what? If you they used to say if you tell a lie long enough, people will begin to believe it. And as it relates to the situation with those individuals who lived in those red states,
right?
And you know how vast the red states are,
right?
You know, people began to believe that they weren't doing as well as they should be doing economically. You know, job-wise, but when you go into an administration that inherits an unemployment, when they inherit the unemployment rate at 9%, and during the course of that 8 years, it's now driven down to about 4.8%,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's change. We already talked about the automotive industry being saved. We talked about, you know, the health insurance being available. And people are angry, of course, because there are changes that are going on with the Obamacare. True enough, he promised that you'd be able to keep your doctor. But because of the fact that he wasn't able to get the mandate that he wanted as related to the coverage,
mm-hmm.
because of so much pushback from the United States Congress, there was some watering down with the Affordable Care Act that ultimately kind of overshadowed the financial end of it, and people are, you know, understandably so, very much at odds about what is happening with their health care costs.
Harold, you know, I now I see how history can repeat itself, how things that we thought could never happen again, it's entirely possible, because the way that Donald Trump got into the White House broke all sorts of rules, and I do believe, and I heard someone say it on one of the networks the other day, that the media did not do a good job of questioning the candidates, especially Donald Trump. He was not forced to answer questions. The surrogates were allowed to dance around answers. He was allowed not to answer. He hasn't even showed us his tax return. We don't know what, as Pastor Taylor was saying, we don't know what he's going to do. We, you know, when he takes office in January, when something comes up, we have no idea. How did this person get into the White House, and we don't know who he is and what are his ideas and plans? What is his idea?
And particularly with the state of the nation being as it is, it's not in a bad, bad situation. Now, there, you know, I've heard a lot of black people say that they wish that Obama had spoken up on different issues as related to the black agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. But at the same time, I have to tell those same people that I speak to that bring up that argument, what happened in 2010? Where were you then?
Yeah.
Did you go to the polls? Did you vote? Because we had a great opportunity to have a really good thing going forward.
Exactly.
But when the wave of so-called, I call it mad. but you know, there was discontent simply because for no other reason that we now had a president that was black that was pushing forward the Affordable Care Act. And people were against it because, for whatever reason, a black man was putting the stamp on it. So, yeah, they have a delusional mindset that, based upon the individual who's in the White House,
mm-hmm.
and because they don't like that person that's in the White House, the policies otherwise might not be advantageous toward their lifestyle mm-hmm. and what is in their best advantage. See, when we go to vote, we vote our agenda,
right?
You know, we vote our agenda. What's like? What was that? What president was that who asked the question? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Okay, Now, if you ask that question here in 2016, there's a strong likelihood that you are better off than you were 8 years ago.
True.
Before President Obama took office.
Right. And, right? And many people have forgotten that when Barack Obama took office, we were on our way to soup and bread lines back then. It was that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama has turned this economy around. So I don't understand where all the anger in the economy was for the reasons that people said they voted for Donald Trump, and I don't believe that that was the reason, because things are better off right now. I think like Van Jones on CNN said it was some people call it a backlash,
yeah.
and he called it a white lash. You know, I think people were like, okay, we had 8 years of Obama, let's get our guy in now.
I'm too polite to call people a liar, but some truths have definitely been altered, and I mean, when you take a look at the figures, 53% of white women voted for Donald Trump. So that meant in the discussions that you had with people, just casual discussions leading up to the election, people told you that, you know, oh, I don't like him, he's not my guy, blah, blah, blah. Well, ultimately, I would say a good 35% of those people were lying to you, because you know, the numbers, the numbers show that they voted.
Yeah.
All right. And not only that, people say, how can.
And these were college women.
Oh, definitely.
Women that were in college, working women. You know,
mm-hmm.
women that got children. I mean, what.
Well, feminists have always said that they're capable of, you know, really separating their political viewpoint from feminism. And feminism was first. But that proved to be a lie this time.
Well, honestly, I think they voted for him because he's a celebrity.
Oh, that had a lot to do with it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was on Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was well known in that area. And he's nothing but a joke. You know, he should be a comedian. That's what he should be.
Well, you know what, though? The joke's on us, though, I think, you know, Pastor Taylor. I mean, really. He, with his bombasticness and his ability to really control a narrative, we may have touched upon this last week, but what were the clarion calls for the Trump team? Make America great again. People latched on to that, and they held on to it for dear life. You know, Hillary's situation was I'm with her, and then she had another slogan that took place. I forgot what it was. It escapes me now that, of course, we're on the air. But, you know, people need to understand. They need to have something that they can latch on to, you know.
And, you know, if we have callers on the line that want to jump in, go right ahead, because we don't want to take up all of the talk time, but if you've got a comment, go right ahead, because you are live on National Detroit Weekly right now. One of the things, Pastor Taylor, is that Donald Trump will sober up real soon. As I was saying on the last show, once he gets his CIA briefings and the Defense Intelligence Agency briefing and the National Security Agency and the FBI briefings, every president that has gotten his first briefing on the state of the world, the intelligence that the United States has right now, because our intelligence agencies know more than all other agencies in the world, and they are in place to provide secret information to the president of the United States. Once Donald Trump gets his first, you will see a new face on Donald Trump, because he will know almost everything that there is to know that our security agencies has, and every president, even Barack Obama, he looked different. It changes you because you know things that no one else knows, and it changes how you look. That amount of information is mind-boggling, and it's sobering because it's things that you wish you didn't know. And then the other thing is, Donald Trump is 70 years old. The weight of this office and the decisions and the demands of the presidency every minute, every day, will take a toll on him. He will sober up, the Donald Trump you see right now will not be the person you see 1 year from now.
I think he's going to have, you know, that honeymoon period that every president has. I want to find out his positioning as it relates to, you know, finding the reins, when he holds the reins going into office, you know, how much brushback is he going to have on the Obama administration with respect to, well, we're here at this position because the Obama administration did this or did not do that or should have done more of this. So we'll hear that, of course, you know, going forward. I don't recall hearing a lot of that from the Obama administration coming in after the Bush administration.
Yeah, they were humble.
I also believe that in terms of, you know, what is happening, you know, internally or domestically,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be an important factor also, because people are going to be looking at the possibility of, you know, people always want to make more money.
Exactly.
I want to make more money. You want to make more money.
Yeah.
Michael wants to make more
yeah.
money. And all of our listeners, they want to make
more
money.
Money.
You understand? But I don't want to make more money myself personally at the expense of someone else losing their position. I don't want to make more money at the expense of someone having to lose, you know, benefits or what have you, or working at a place where they've worked for low these many years, and then, you know, the boss comes up and tells you, well, we're going to need you to do the same job, but we're going to have to wind up paying you about, you know, $4 less per hour. So that would not be good. That would not be a good thing. So in the business world, when things go bad, the person who signs the checks can make the decree, we're going to do this because it's good for business. This is what we have to do because, you know, otherwise we won't be able to maintain our business dealings and our status. That's not going to be the case with you know, being president. Again, you've got to go before legislative branches. You've got to do so many different things in order to bring the balance of your decision-making into fruition.
Right.
You're listening to National Detroit Weekly with blogger Harold Sullivan and Pastor Shauna Taylor from the Deacon Outreach Mission. My name is Michael Van Tool. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Pastor Taylor, more from Harold Sullivan, and with some additional commentary. And hopefully you also that are listening, and we'll click on and get you on the live line with us. Are you ready to buy a new car? We've got the person for you. His name is Deacon Moe. And he's going to make it easy for you because all you need is a driver's license and proof of income. The number for Deacon Moe is 248-226-2566. Tell him you heard it on National Detroit Weekly. 248-226-2566. Look, maybe you want to lease it. You can lease it. Or first-time buyer, if you're a first-time buyer, you can purchase your car through Deacon Moe, and you can put down a down payment, or you can have a trade-in. But call Deacon Moe. He's at Davis Ford, and the number is 248-226-2566. Yes, 248-226-2566 for Deacon Moe. And he's a real deacon, too, over at Davis Ford. Harold, you know, people come up to me and say, Mike, where can I purchase authentic African clothing?
I don't know why. Yeah, they come to you because you're the authority.
Yeah. I don't know. They think you're the
authority. And they just ask me, Mike, where can I purchase authentic African clothing?
Right, right.
But you know what I tell them? African Fashions and More, Pastor Taylor, and you know it's a great place up on 9 Mile
really
in Oak Park.
You gotta go there.
Yep, and it's easy because African Fashions and More has a designer on site. They can customize all your outfits and accessories. They have authentic, colorful African fabric, low and reasonable prices, and they eliminate the middleman. It's direct to you. The merchandise goes directly to you. They can connect. Here's what I say. Connect with who you are. Your style. Be you. And if you're looking for authentic African outfits, dresses, matching head wraps, Kofi hats and regular ties, belts and bow ties, for men too, shirts and long and short sleeve shirts, for women's skirts, maxi and short, pants set, separates. And let me tell you, you know, it's Michigan, so it's year round. They've got year round fabrics. They even have winter coats because, you know, you got to wrap your authentic African wear in the wintertime, so you got to cover it up. And they have authentic African wear, and they've got winter coats also. And children's fashions at African Fashions and 4 on 9 Mile. The address is 8126 West 9 Mile Road in Oak Park. And, you know, it beats, look, you've got, they have fabric stacked. And for weddings, too, they've got stuff stacked in there. So you can, all these different colors. I'm telling you, you've got to get in there. You know, yes, going online is okay, but they've got it right there. So what's the excuse? You can go right there at African Fashions and More. The phone number, you got a question, call them, 248-951-2363. Again, African Fashions and More, 8126 West Nile Mile Road in Oak Park, and the number is 248-951-2363. Hot Sam's has their fall inventory in right now. It's on Monroe Street, downtown Detroit. I appreciate them because they're my official wardrobe consultant. And Harold, I've got color now. I mean, I got color, mm-hmm. color in my wardrobe. Now, I used to have the boring banker, blue and black and all that kind of stuff. But Hot Sam's has livened it up. They've got cashmere coats, sweaters, jackets. It's all in for the fall. And, of course, they still have the suits. Take your wardrobe to the next level. I had to step my game up. I added color and style. They've got the colorful regular ties, bow ties, socks, shirts, and they have business suits. They're open Monday through Saturday. Tell them you heard it right here on National Detroit Weekly. Hot Sam's on Monroe in Detroit since 1921. The next level in men's clothing. Look, the weather is so great right now. If you've got work to do on your home, like, you know, I just had put a new roof in a few years ago. But, you know, there's other work that you can do, and American Standard can put the gutters in for you, skylight, siding. They've got certified crews ready, free estimates. Financing is available, too, at American Standard Roofing. They have the finest, most durable materials. They are Michigan's number one roofer. They have a design center, too, at American Standard Roofing. Tell Arnie that you heard it right here on National Detroit Weekly, 248-350-2323. Again, American Standard Roofing, 248-350-2323. All right. Pastor Taylor, tell us a little bit about what's going on with Beacon Outreach Mission. You know, we're all I know, and I know you can add some things to it, but of course we are. We spent some time today working on getting information for people who are looking for a job. They're out of a job, and those are the types of things that Beacon Outreach wants to help with in the community. And much more. But we also have Beacon Outreach Ministry, and our next service is this coming Sunday, right, Pastor Taylor?
Right. Our address is 24681 Northwestern Highway. It is an amazing ministry. You will have a high time in the Lord. And, I mean, people of God, I tell you, you want to come to Beacon Outreach Mission and Beacon Outreach Ministry. You want to come and support us from 2 to 4 o'clock. You got to come on down and have a good old time with the Lord. I promise you, you won't regret it. It's first and third of every Sunday. The idea for Beacon Outreach Mission right now is to go out and to evangelize, go and get people, to bring them into the church because they need to be fed and they need to be loved on. Right now, for our lack of hope. They have no hope in the future. So one thing that I want to do is I want to get some care packages for people that come off the street.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's needed. People don't have odorant. They don't have hygienal products. They don't have underwear, T-shirts.
Basic necessities
of life. And that's one of the things that we're going to do for Christmas. If you want to donate some things so that we can get these wonderful basic necessities for the homeless, if you have diapers, clothes, socks, the homeless needs socks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's cold outside in the winter in Detroit. They need thermals.
Absolutely.
You know, we got to get some Long John. You know, Long John shirts and Long John pants.
Yeah, the thermal.
Blankets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because honestly, they're out there laying on the street, or they're laying on a bench, or they're laying in the alley. So if you could please spread the word, our website is www.beaconoutreachmission.com. If you can donate any type of monetary donation, we need you, and we thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Taylor, for that wonderful word on behalf of Beacon Outreach Ministries.
You're welcome.
And I want to say thank you to the caller that we have online here. You can just chime right on in, caller.
The lines are lit right up. Yeah.
Are you there? You should be able to speak and get right through. Don't know if, because there is a bit of a delay, but just go right ahead. I don't see that, the last four digits of that phone number.
Was it this one?
No, the one on the bottom down there. Yeah. Hello, are you there, caller? Caller, are you there? Okay. Okay, let's just try that one then. Let's see what happens. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
I think I hear someone. Okay, so apparently... that was my delay that we were hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, going forward, we were talking about before the break, you know, what the level of expectation is going forward in this administration. And I'm very concerned. I'm not at the point where I'm going to say that, you know, I'm worried and I feel as though that all is lost, because I don't ever want to go there. We've been a resilient people all of our lives here in this country, and I'm speaking of black people. And you know, we're going to be able to get through this. But as Michael was saying, you know, we're looking at a president who is 70 years old coming into office. And I'm not trying to say that's too old. I mean, you know, you can be 70 years old and be of sound mind and very fit. But Michael asked how I was doing at the beginning of the broadcast. I told him I was a bit disturbed today, because on the way here, I discovered that you guys are, of course, will remember the case out of Minnesota where the gentleman by the name of Philando Castile was actually murdered by a suburban Minneapolis police officer in July of this year. I recall seeing the graphic nature of what took place. The man was in his car. He had been pulled over by the police, I believe, for some sort of car infraction, and, you know, having to do with some sort of deficiency with his vehicle. And once he was pulled over, a police officer approached the car, ask for the gentleman's identification, which he was in the act of complying with and about to deliver to the police officer, and at the same time telling the police officer that he was licensed to carry a concealed weapon, and, you know, that he had the weapon was in the car, and that he did have the credentials to carry it. Whatever transpired actually resulted in Mr. Castile being shot multiple times.
Wow.
And many of you saw this. online. We saw this play out as the girlfriend described every measure of the incident. She called the authorities, called the ambulance, and she was saying that, you know, her boyfriend had been shot and that he was clinging to life. The officer was still on the outside of the vehicle, yelling inside of the vehicle. Actually, I believe he was saying that, you know, you should have, you know, produced your identification. Well, he indicated that he was trying to produce his identification. And in so doing, I guess the officer got jumpy and shot him.
Oh, wow.
Now, why there were multiple shots, I do not know. Well, today, the indictment has actually come down. Now, this event took place, or I won't, event, that's a horrible word. This situation took place in July of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are now, November the 15th, and so the charges have just been brought, and the police officer, Mr. Geronimo Yanez, has been charged with murder in the second degree. And in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
that charge could bring a maximum penalty or a maximum sentence of 10 years. And that's why I'm disturbed, because, you know, 10 years being the maximum amount of time that a person could serve actually could result in 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
of prison time. So I said all of that to say this, because I'm setting the stage, I'm setting the table here. Donald Trump, going forward 4 years, just in his first term, very well could be making appointments. We know there's already one vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
He could be making 2, perhaps even 3 appointments going forward in this administration. If that is indeed the case, we could possibly find ourselves seeing more watered-down indictments, the likes of which we've seen here with Mr. Castile,
mm-hmm.
in his murder and his senseless, timeless death.
Mm-hmm.
We could see these things going forward in years to come. Now, we also know that there is a pending situation down in South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
where the gentleman was shot in the back by the police officer,
right.
And there was an active attempt to try to plant a weapon.
Wow.
You know, indicating that this man had a weapon that was on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to try to get this call here. Let's try that. Hello, caller, you there?
Hello.
Are you there, caller?
Yes.
Something is amiss.
Welcome, people.
Yes, everybody.
Welcome, everybody.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, our board is lit up. We know you're listening. Okay, we know that. Okay, the board is lit up.
You know what? Let's take a minute to just say that.
that
we do appreciate you. We know you're there. We know you're listening, and we appreciate that. And we thank you very much for listening this afternoon. But I think we will definitely have a new call-in number next week.
Next time around.
Yeah. Sure, we will.
Yeah.
Because we're going to do what we did before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And getting back to that point, if I may, because this is important. Okay. If we're going to see federal judges appointed that bring about the mindset of Mr. Trump and Mr. Pence and all of the right wing, the staunch conservative right wing element, is going to beg the question of what types of jurists are going to be appointed to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be like minded. They're going to be ultra conservative. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that in pending situations, the likes of which we have now with Mr. Castillo,
mm-hmm.
and with the gentleman down in South Carolina whose name escapes me right now,
mm-hmm.
We're going to probably see situations where these assailants escape indictment, or if they are indicted,
mm-hmm.
they're going to face some very light sentencing if they're charged.
Now, let me tell you guys about this president that we have. President Trump. What a name. He might as well be a million. Amen, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's like night and day with this man. He's a smooth talking man. He wants to talk his way out of everything. So this is what he said. Everything will go smoothly. Now, how does a man that say he has a plan in 100 days that is already completed? Watch this. This is one of the things out of the 100-day plan. Well, here's the solution. If there's a criminal, illegal alien committing crimes here, I will empower deportation, and I'm going to send out a task force to get 2 million law and order problems. Guards, that's his answer. I'm going to get the guard. Well, he sounds like that thing gonna lean on me. Get Clark, get him, lock him up, put him away, lock him up, get him, okay.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. His answer to everything is more enforcement, more police, more weapons, more of all that, which it just picks up the level of violence or more killing and more harassment.
Mm-hmm.
There's no solutions there. There's no solutions. I think that, you know, those individuals, you know, those of us who live in these communities, particularly the urban communities, we've got to be very, very mindful of the tense relationship that goes on now between the citizenry and the police community. Let me be very, very succinct and very clear. Michael, you and I both have very good friends who are police officers or have been police officers. But what we need to understand, first and foremost, is, you know, the contentious relationship between law enforcement and the African American community is going to have to be really, really checked. And I hear a lot of code speak going on. This time is going by so quickly. 2 minutes, okay. I hear a lot of code speech that's going on, and I gotta tell you this, man. White people are on code. That's how Trump became elected. They spoke the language that, in many instances, only they could understand.
But see, what I think that Trump is trying to make it where we can't defend ourselves by having our own guns. I thought we had a right to bear arms.
But that's a constitutional right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's going to try to ban that, I feel in my spirit. So we can't protect ourselves from no type of danger.
Oh, but there's been a hue and cry over the last 8 years that Obama was attempting to take the guns of people. That was not true. That was not true. Obama didn't try to take the people's guns.
But now we got this man that's going to try to take the guns, and nobody's going to be aware because
he's
going to
take
he's going to take
all the guns, or is he going to take a select set of guns?
I think he's going to take black people's guns.
Well, you know what? That's not too far off the mark, and I'll tell you the reason why. Have either of you heard of this is a containment measure, and It came about back in the 1940s, and the measure was actually designed to cordon off black neighborhoods in the event of an uprising. And so if we find ourselves in a situation where there's a great deal of social upheaval, black folk could find themselves, you know, really cordoned off and sequestered the way that the Japanese community was during World War II. It's called the King Alfred Plan. And those of you out there in the listening audience, if you're not aware of it, I would encourage you strongly to look it up, Google it, find out what it's all about, the King Alfred Plan. It's a containment plan. If you notice, many of the urban communities are always centered around the freeway systems in your city. So if individuals or if militias or militaries need to come in and cordon off communities, they can do it via the freeway systems, shutting them down, making them go one way, providing access to the militia groups and or the National Guard. And that's why I asked that question. Whose guns is he proposing that they be taken away?
Right.
If there's a martial law situation, there might be an ability for him to have a loophole to say, we're going to take the guns of this particular segment or this particular demographic group.
Well, did you know that he already thinks that we are an endangerment to him?
Well, nothing surprises me about
Mr.
Trump. Jesse
Palmer was an excuse to take away our rights.
Nothing at all surprises me about what is in the mind of Donald Trump.
We're not a slave anymore. We have the right to bear arms.
Harold, can you hear me?
We have the right to bear arms, and we have the right to freedom.
Oh, absolutely. Just like every American. And it should be clear-cut across the board. It shouldn't be, you know, divided and fractioned based upon a person's race or ethnicity or their demographic or even their sexual preferences. So
Harold, can you hear me?
Once we get to the point of, see, Michael's trying to.
Can you hear me, Harold?
I can hear you. Go ahead, Michael.
Great. And I think that's what the problem is right now, is that there's going to be a learning curve.
Yeah.
And he's going to find out, unfortunately, by trial and error. And guess who's going to pay the price for his errors? We are, the people. The American people are going to pay the price for his errors. And that's the problem, because he's going to learn. And we don't know what this next year, even if he's going to survive in office, whether he's impeached or he resigns, or, you know, we don't want to have to suffer through his learning curve. And that's why it's so important for him to do things right, the right way, right now.
Well,
we can't afford
to
have him make mistakes.
Well, we're off to a bumpy start right now, though, Michael. I think we've got a message to be read here, too, in the final minute or so from Pastor Taylor.
Okay, so, guys, we have a Miracles and Music Spirit of Giving Gala from Franklin Wright Settlements Incorporated, honoring presumptuously Judah D. Jackson, Dr. Gerald Smith, Saturday, December the 10th, 2016, at Bailout Casino. 7 p.m. VIP reception, photo opportunities with honorees, 8 p.m. awards program, dinner and music featuring Alexander Janjic and friends, attire black tie and winter white confirmed, complimentary parking. Tickets are $135, but guess what? You can bring your lady, you can bring your husband, you can bring your wife. You're going to have a good time. The chairperson is Lewis and Tanya Allen, Dave and Peggy Needle. The number is 313-579-1000, extension 248.
How much are the tickets?
$135. You cannot beat that.
That's right. Yeah. It goes to a good cause, and it's tax deductible, too. So.
And that's a date.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, I'm going to pray us out. Father, we just thank you we know that you will make America great again. And we thank you that we don't put our faith and our trust in what a political individual can do as a president, but we thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. You will finish what you started, and you will end everything. So we thank you on today that we will have the peace of God that passes all understanding, and we thank you on today in Jesus' anointed name that no weapon formed against us will be able to prosper.
I just want to send a quick condolences to the family of Gwen Ifill and to all of those at PBS television. She passed away 2 days ago, and she was a journalist extraordinaire, passed away at the age of 61. She had cancer. I don't think many of us knew that she was ailing, because she was on the air just as of last week. But Gwen Ifill, we salute you for a job well done throughout your career, having worked as a writer, worked at NBC News, and then most recently as a correspondent with NPR.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. PBS.
Yes, a veteran newswoman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But thank you, and all the callers. Thank you for listening. And the Beacon Outreach Ministry Church, Sunday, 2 o'clock. The address, 24681 Northwestern Highway at Evergreen, fourth floor conference room. Sunday, this Sunday at 2 p.m., Beacon Outreach Ministry in Southfield, Michigan. Okay, so you got it. On the first and third Sunday. Okay, I think I got it all there. But thank you. Thank you to all those callers. Numbers ending in, your phone number ending in 35014999 0500. Everybody, thank you. 0035. Well, I'm just giving out the last two, but thank you all for listening to National Detroit Weekly. And you can listen to all of our past copies, all the ones that we've issued before. Good night.